You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're watching Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young. Join Sutton every Wednesday night on The Sports Objective as he talks East Carolina football. Here's Sutton.
And welcome back into Pirate Breakdown. I'm Sutton Young. Hope you've had a good week. Bubba, it's good to have you back here. How are you, man?
Doing well, Sutton. Hope you are, you know, fired up for this conference opener. And, man, the month of September has gone by in the blink of an eye. You know, you wait forever for college football season to roll around. And, you know, here we are already 25% of the way through the regular season.
Exactly. I'm going to give a hot take here right now. I know a lot of fans think that there's a curse here, but I am so pumped to see the white helmets back.
Yeah, sharp-looking helmet, no doubt about it, and it seems as though most of Pirate Nation, as well as obviously the players, agree with the response I've seen on social media and so forth.
No doubt about it. Bubba, let's go ahead and jump right in. The win over Campbell was impressive, though. It reminded me of the Ruffin McNeil team on where ECU didn't really get that big groove until the second half. I mean, it was a close game going in the half. Campbell had the lead going in the first quarter, but then once they came back out, it was lights out.
Yeah, the game was largely what I thought it probably would be, you know, especially given the tremendous quarterback they have in Haj Malik Williams. Was not shocked to see the Pirates down 10-7 after a quarter. Obviously not the start we wanted, but from that point on, we outscored the Camels 42-0. And you look at it, they did put up a little over 400 yards of offense, but 150 of those 400 yards came in the first 10 minutes of the ball game when we were trying to kind of get our bearings, if you will, defensively, you know. And, you know, you heard Coach Houston say it all week, no matter how good of a look we got from Ryan Stubblefield in the scout team, it wasn't going to be the same as going against Malik Williams or Haj Malik Williams, and that was certainly the case. But to the defense's credit, they settled down and played pretty good football after that. And, man, Holton Ahlers in the offense, they were clicking on all cylinders for most of the night and really were able to do what they wanted to do. You saw Keaton Mitchell average between 14 and 15 yards a carry, pushing for – almost two, or, you know, rushing for nearly 200 yards. I think it's what, 185 on 14 or 15, or maybe 13 carries. So tremendous night for Keaton.
Yeah, Keaton, he had 13 carries, 185. Longest was 42. And the nice thing about the running back duo is you have Keaton. He is so fast, and he can score, obviously. But when we're in the red zone, you've got Rajah. He's a big dude. I mean, he was able to get two touchdowns on Saturday. It was a good game for him.
Yeah, that was great to see Rajah Harris have that touchdown run. I guess it was late third quarter going toward the boneyard. Man, that was unbelievable. I think it was, what, about a 20-yard run, give or take. And, you know, some of the cuts he made on that run were just unreal. So that was great to see Rajah get into the end zone. And then right there at the goal line, he ran over a Campbell player.
No doubt. Hopefully this week we can get Marlon Gunn in the end zone. He's had two great runs looking back at ODU and now Campbell. I mean, it just seems that the time is coming. He's going to get in the end zone.
No doubt. Marlon, tremendously talented. And what he had, about 50 or 55 yards on five carries last Saturday against Campbell. Like you said, coming off what was a solid performance against Old Dominion. In relief, if you will. And, you know, Marlon Gunn, it's great to see him, because those other guys in that room, you know, guys like Nemo Squire, Pop McKay, and then also Camaro Edmonds are tremendously talented. And, you know, if I'm pretty sure, wasn't it Nemo Squire that got that kickoff return when they kicked away from Keaton Mitchell? It looked like that may nearly go to the house.
Yeah, no, it was an impressive run, to say the least. Really, the thing about this running back group, they're just talented. And a lot of times when I think back of former ECU teams, I always think about the receivers, how good the receivers were. Justin Hardy, Zay Jones, all those guys. But now you look at an offense under Mike Houston, and you have a balance between the receivers and the running backs, which I think is really good.
No doubt. We used the portal to our advantage as we needed to. With that wide receiver room, obviously, with the departures of Tyler Snead to the NFL draft and then Audio Matosho, you had to bring some guys in. And then Zay Winstead, and, you know, he and Jalen Johnson have been exactly what the doctor ordered. And, you know, Zay, you know, he had his first 100-yard receiving game after he had come close in his first two games with the Pirates. And he continues to impress. And then after not having a very big game statistically against Old Dominion, you saw another solid performance, much like what he did against NC State for C.J. Johnson. He got into the end zone when that call was overturned in the right corner on the I believe it was a slot fade route. And that was a nice grab. And I think he had, what, about six catches for 90, 95 yards.
Yeah, CJ, he had five catches, 91 yards. Solid outing for him. And frankly, that touchdown that he had is one of the best I've seen since he's been at ECU.
Yeah, that was one that was obviously it was initially called out of bounds, but they judged that he got that foot in. I was afraid when watching it. It wasn't even so much that I didn't think that he got a foot in. But I just thought that based on the angles we were seeing, I was afraid that they were going to say that they couldn't tell for sure that the ball was in his possession when that foot was in bounds. But fortunately, they ruled that it was conclusive. And, you know, that was a big play at that juncture of the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was right there on that end zone when the touchdown happened. And I couldn't really tell from my side, but looking at the scoreboard, I'm like, I'm afraid they might not overturn it because the ball was moving. But obviously, it stayed still. Touchdown was called. It was the right call. But, I mean, just an impressive grab by C.J. Johnson. Talk, too, about Isaiah Winstead. What a great game he had. Six receptions for 112 yards. I mean, wish he could have gotten in the end zone, but still a really good game from him, too.
Yeah, he'll find the end zone soon. And – speaking of getting in the end zone, it was nice to see us use Ryan Jones on play action down at the goal line, where we actually lined him up in the backfield on the left side and brought him across the formation into the right flat, and he was all by himself. Very easy pitch and catch for him and Holton, and also I believe Shane Calhoun had another catch or two at least.
Yeah, he was able to get that touchdown pretty easily. I mean, there were a couple touchdowns in that game that were, frankly, just easy. But certainly are not going to find easy touchdowns on Saturday. The Pirates play Navy at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, Military Appreciation Day. Pirates are 2-7 against the Midshipmen all time. And get this, they have never beaten the Mids inside Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. Bubba, they had a chance to do it in 2020, but this certainly looks like the year that they're going to do it.
You certainly hope so. Like you said, 2-7 all time against Navy. Going back to that first series matchup in 2006 up in Annapolis. And as you mentioned, the Pirates have actually played fairly well in Annapolis. Both of those victories over the Middies have come at Navy Marine Corps Stadium, 38-35 in each of those contests. And 2011, and then also in obviously 2021 on the Daffer Dagger, and then you had at least that one more close call in 2006 up in Annapolis. But outside of the 2020 game at Dowdy-Ficklin, where it was 27-23 in that game that Holton Ahlers missed because of COVID and that false positive test, that was the only game that was even remotely competitive, because in the other three, 76-35, 56-28, and 66-31, the Middies averaged 66 points per game across those three games, and all of them were extremely ugly and just, you know, very forgettable days for the Pirates.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember back in 2010 when they came to Dowdy-Ficklin, my dad and I were at that game. And we left – it was probably the earliest I ever left a game, because it was just so out of hand. And I was shocked because I had never seen a team, a football team for that matter, put up 70 points. I don't even know if I'd seen 60 at that point. So it really is nice to see that under Mike Houston, that those days of just not even being able to wake up to the triple option are somewhat gone. That granted, it's still tough. It's still tough to defend, but Saturday by no means should be one of those first couple blowouts that we had at Dowdy Film.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I remember that 2010 game very well also. It was the complete opposite as far as for East Carolina fans compared to that 2014 game and that 2014 game against North Carolina, that is. The Pirates had 70 points with 7.5 minutes remaining. That day, the Midshipmen had 76 points with still 5, 6, maybe even 7 minutes remaining. I was up. I said, are we really going to allow, you know, 80 or 90 points in this game?
I remember that game, and I was like, I certainly hope that they don't get to 100. I mean, obviously, I've never seen a team in football score 100 points, but certainly the closest I've come to seeing it because obviously that day we could not defend their triple option. But luckily, it really seems like Blake Carroll has a game plan for defending that triple option.
Yeah, Coach Harrell certainly has a lot of familiarity with it and the scheme and knowledge to stop it. And you take a look at Coach Harrell's background, going back to his days as an assistant. He was on staff with Coach Houston multiple places where the triple option was run, and then also Kennesaw State on his previous staff. They went against it every day. So that's something, you know, you have Chance Bates. Chance Bates has that background in addition to the guys on the current roster. This will be their third season now in Coach Harrell's scheme going against Navy's triple option, a flexbone attack. So, so far, it's kind of been a mixed bag. I mean, pretty good results in 2020. Last year, we really struggled to slow them down in the first half. In the second half, much better. Outside of one big run where the Middies broke it for, I think, what, 90 yards. But but very intrigued to see how that goes on Saturday, you know, with this defense playing very well, and especially against the run. But as we know, defending this run is a much different animal than just stopping a traditional running attack.
Yeah, and by no means. Well, let's get this straight now. I mean, I said earlier in the year that usually with Navy teams under Kenny Malolo, they'll have a bad year or maybe a couple bad years, and then they'll bounce back and have an 8-9 win season. It does not look like that's going to happen this year. This Navy team this year, they do not look good. But bottom line, I mean, still cannot underestimate them. They still are a threat. It is a triple option. I mean – again, it's the triple option. I mean, it doesn't matter that Navy lost to Delaware, in my opinion, because, I mean, who knows with that running game. I think Navy does have a chance to be competitive in this game.
There's no doubt they do. Their flexbone attack's a great equalizer. You don't see it. You talk about the way the Pirates have been preparing for this, really around the calendar. I mean, you prepare for it in spring ball. You talk about it in the summer during workouts. Coach Houston said literally, you know, every Sunday night, and there's some practice in preparation for the triple option that Navy runs, you know, whatever that may be. I'm sure it may look different in different practices, but one of the big things is obviously playing assignment sound, and, you know, you hear fullback dive, quarterback pitch. I mean, you know, and just the average football fan, it looks like they're running the same play over and over and over. And there's so many different ways that, you know, they can block things. And yes, it's not it doesn't look like a lot of different plays, but it really is because of blocking it different ways and different tweaks and twists to it. So it's very challenging to stop, and, you know, just the smallest of missteps can result in the play going a long way. And we've seen that through the years One thing that's different this year, Sutton, is that cut blocking is not permitted on the perimeter. It's still allowed within the tackle box, but those Navy receivers or running backs, slot backs, cannot block below the waist on the perimeter as they could in the past.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be a that's going to be a factor for sure. And here's a big thing too with Navy is, I mean, I remember I've been to Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium multiple times for ECU and Navy, and as you said, that it just seemed like they were running the same thing, same thing, same thing. It's either that they're running the same thing, or they obviously they'll run it one time. And boom, they're gone. And I remember too, and I think it was the 2019 game, that I think it was the first pass or something they made on the day. I'm not 100% on this, but one of their first passes, bang, touchdown. Because the thing with Navy is everyone knows they run the triple option, everybody. So, I mean, I'm not saying that teams do not prepare for them to pass, but you get so focused on that triple option, the passing game kind of goes to the back of your mind.
It definitely can. It's easy to get lulled to sleep. You know, when your opponent's throwing the ball no more than 5, 6, 7 times a game. But you look at it so often, not so far this year, but the bigger receptions for Navy this year, and there haven't been many of them, but they've been by the slot backs and the tailback. But a lot of times you'll see those Navy receivers, they'll average about 20 yards per reception because the catches they do make are on play action over the top.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that the big thing to really look at going into this game is time management. Because when we've played Navy before, they have really done a good job with time possession. But I think really under Mike Houston, ECU in general has done a great job with time of possession. So if we can manage time of possession, I think that we have a really good shot to win this one.
Yeah, you bring that up on Charles. I appreciate Charles chiming in as always. And he was saying in his opinion that we should run the ball at least 40 times to keep their offense off the field. And Charles, the game last year, Pirates went 38-35 in the first half. Neither team could stop the other. You know, it was a back and forth game. I think there may have been one possession where a team didn't score, but it was either 7 or 7.
We're having some audio issues, Bubba. Can you repeat that?
You know, throw the ball as this. We have to do what's necessary to score, because we're going to have 8 to 10 possessions. If we can run the ball well and run it 40 plus times, then great. But last year we ran it fairly well. We ran it 35 times, I think, 35, 37 times for about 165 yards. And then we threw it tremendously well, 27 out of 32 for 405 and 3 interceptions. We did not fumble either. So, you know, I think that's the recipe that we need.
It's like we're
which I'll talk more about in a very similar in scheme to the defense that Blake Carroll and the Pirates employ. So we really just need to take what's there, and if we operate the way we did a season ago, we'll be in great shape. And the one thing that you would want to change is, I know in the second half of that game last year, there was a situation where we had a, I believe it was a first and goal situation, 5, and we came up empty. We got stuffed on a fourth down, or threw incomplete. I think maybe Holton got sacked, but nonetheless, we turned the ball over on downs after having an end goal situation. And that's something obviously you want to avoid anytime, but especially in a game like this where, points may be at a premium and you really want to capitalize on your limited opportunities.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the thing with Navy is you have to capitalize. It doesn't matter, like I said earlier in the show, it doesn't matter how bad they are. I'm not saying they're a bad team. They obviously have not started the year well. You have to capitalize because the thing with Navy, if you don't capitalize, they will. So if we don't capitalize on Saturday, then there is a very high chance that this could be an upset.
And as far as an upset, Navy defensively, they've been very stout against the run. Very interested to see how they can slow down Keaton Mitchell and Rajay Harris in the Pirate rushing attack. Hopefully we'll be able to get that going earlier in this game than we have in previous games. And then also Navy, although they've allowed 300 yards per game through the first two games through the air, and they have been able to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks, sacking the opposition 9 times. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Pass protection by the ECU offensive line has been good on the whole, outside of a stretch there. I guess it was in the second quarter, that game against Old Dominion, where it may have even been one possession where Holton was sacked 3 times. So, hopefully the Pirate offensive line is able to protect Holton the way they have for the majority of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And unlike our first couple of contests, I think we're going to get a good idea of where this game is going to head in the first quarter. I really think that, I mean, there's two ways I think this game could go. It's either going to be a very tight game, ECU's going to win it late, or it's going to be the exact opposite of what we've had in previous ECU Navy games, is ECU is going to come right out of the water and it's going to be a blowout. What I think is going to happen is I think it's going to be option A. I do think it's going to be a close game, believe it or not. I really do. I mean, again, I understand Navy is not as good. I get it. But you look at ECU and you look at the triple option, prior to Mike Houston arriving, we were dead meat. I think in this game, it's going to be lower scoring because I think that both teams are going to try and run that clock, keep their offenses on the field as much as they can. I'm going to go 27-24 ECU. I know that's a little bit low scoring. I usually go high scoring, but I really think that this is going to be a quick game and that both offenses are going to try and run the ball.
And looking at things, that game that they lost to Memphis in their conference opener a couple weeks ago prior to their open date, they were trailing 23-13 was a little over halfway through the fourth quarter. So that game was much more competitive than the 37-13 final would indicate, kind of like that East Carolina Old Dominion final in some ways, perhaps, because that game was 16-14, halfway through the third quarter. So I'd say, I'm not a betting man, but I would not touch that 17-point line. I think that's a little too risky, but it would not shock me if we did, but I would think it's going to be a little closer as well. I'll say something along the lines of, East Carolina 34 and Navy 20. I'll go with that.
So, that's a decent score prediction. I do like your theory behind it. And something, too, for the fans, it's Navy. It's Military Appreciation Day. There's a few pregame festivities happening before the game, so you're going to want to make sure that you get in your seats early. They're going to have the Army Golden Knights fly down. Usually they'll have an American flag with them, fly down in the stadium, and then it's going to be a Harrier jet flyover in conjunction with the national anthem. And Bubba, a cool thing from last year is when ECU played Navy, it was four Harriers that flew over before, and it's going to be four Harriers this year. So who knows? Maybe that'll be a good luck charm for the Pirates, but it's going to be an interesting game.
It definitely will be. And you mentioned Military Appreciation Day, so hopefully a lot of military, past and present throughout Eastern North Carolina will be able to get out to Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium and enjoy an excellent evening of football and all the tailgating festivities leading up to it on Saturday afternoon. But it's also going to be
Looks like we are losing your audio there for a second.
Several East Carolina helmets on. What do you think of the white lids? Just one moment. I was trying to put one on the screen.
I mean, I love the helmets. I love them. I can't say it enough. I love those white helmets. The classic purple that we wore in the early 2010s with the skull. Like we wore, I think it was 2014, we wore just those classic dark purples. Those are always going to be my favorite. But I love those helmets. You can see that on your screen right now. I, like I said earlier in the show, am thrilled that they're back. I know many of Pirate Nation is not. Though, frankly, I think that those white helmets are going to be forgiven on Saturday, as I think the Pirates will win. Bubba, any final thoughts, man?
Very quickly before I move on to my final thoughts, as far as this helmet, it seems as though the response on social media, both from Pirate Nation and from just college football fans in general, that folks love it. They say that the logo really pops on that white helmet, and they also like the purple chrome face mask. So very excited to see that with the all-white uniforms on Saturday night. But, yeah, just get out to Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, support this team. Very pleased with the crowd we had as far as for Campbell, more than 43,000, and I think that was very legit. And very few empty seats in the lower bowl, and there's a nice crowd in the upper deck as well. So you think about it, that was, I believe, is our second largest crowd since 2016. Outside of that, obviously, season opener this year against NC State, where we had in excess of 51,000.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I expect another crowd in the 40s this weekend. For all you fans out there, too, make sure you get in your seats early. You're not going to want to miss those pair of shoes, and you're definitely not going to want to miss the roar of those Harriers. Thank you for joining us. Bubba, thank you, as always, for hopping on. We will see you guys next week, and make sure you wear your white for the first ever Paying a White game at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. It's going to be a fun one. Stay on it and have a great night.